we welcome in our friend Sean McAdam of MassLive.com. Hey there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How's your day going so far?
Can't argue. It's one of the nicest days of the summer here weather-wise, so enjoying that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Red Sox, I feel like we've been down this road a few times this season. It seems like every time they claw their way back in and look like they're ready to be serious contenders, they run into a buzzsaw with one of these certainly elite teams in the league. The defending champions would qualify there, but it was ugly last night. Paxton lit up and some lapses in the defense.
Yeah, absolutely no momentum sustained from the weekend sweep of the Yankees, and you thought, if anything, that might be a little springboard for them, as well as they played and came back on Sunday after giving up a three-run lead and surviving a close call there in the bottom of the eighth. Kind of a motivating, emotional win, a big celebration in the clubhouse after. And then kind of a faceplant last night on the first game in Houston with Paxton not pitching well, giving up a quick 3-0 lead. That's one thing. The offense, I think, has scored multiple runs in the first inning in five straight games now. And when you do that, when you are on the road and scoring multiple runs in the top of the first before the home team even has a chance to hit, you have to win those games. And they did it for three in New York, but not last night in Houston. And it goes without saying, much less of a margin for error when you're playing the Astros than when you're playing a team that's going in the other direction like the Yankees clearly are.
Struggles continue for Trevor Story since his return. Is it mostly a timing issue?
That's what it looks like. He had the four-hit game before they left on the road trip, and it seemed like he might be figuring some things out, but I think he's 1-for-20 or 1-for-21 on the trip with more than half of those out strikeouts. Yeah, he's, the old cliche about being behind on the fastball and in between or ahead on the breaking ball. That's where he is, and that's a direct function of not having spring training and trying to do this on the fly. And it was a relatively brief rehab stint. They wanted him to get back and have whatever at-bats he was going to have at the major league level rather than waste the bullets at the minor league level, and I understand that thinking, but sometimes this is what you get from that, where he hasn't faced this level of competition since last September, and it's going to be a while.
Boy, one of the great stories of this season, a guy literally off the scrap heap, when the Oakland A's don't want you. You don't look for much upside there. But boy, Pablo Reyes just continues to deliver. And even if he did nothing the rest of the season, that's been a great addition to this team when they needed it most.
Yeah, he has. And a pretty athletic guy who's versatile enough to play both middle infield spots. They haven't asked him to play outfield up here, although that could come, especially with Duran down now on the IL. I mean, they replaced him with Abreu, but Abreu's not much of an outfielder. They may feel if they have to hit for Duran, somebody playing center field, I think they would be more comfortable putting Reyes out there than they would Abreu if it comes to that, because he's a pretty athletic defender no matter where you put him. And he also seems to have the knack of coming up with, the big hit here and there, and he's done plenty of that too with a walk-off grand slam earlier, and just seems to be one of those guys who can come off the bench or in an occasional start make a contribution.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. Tanner Houck back tonight after that scary injury earlier in the season, the line drive to the face. Will he be on any kind of pitch limitations tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I would think they're going to be fairly careful with his workload out of the gate. I think he can probably go, five innings and 75, 80 pitches anyway, maybe even a little bit more. The unusual thing here, of course, is that he's not coming back from an arm injury. It's not an elbow flare-up or inflammation of the elbow or shoulder stiffness or any of that. It's really not arm or even body related. You know, it's a little different because this is not about an arm injury. This is about, as much as anything, how he's doing psychologically, being on the mound and facing live hitters in a game for the first time since he took a line drive to the face. And, you know, most professional athletes are able to put that behind them. They're competitive. They have resources now with mental health people and mental skills coaches and people that are designed to help you get through this kind of thing. But you never really know until you step out there. And in terms of the actual pitch count, I think they can, you know, reasonably expect he can give them 5 innings and, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 75, 80 pitches anyway, and maybe more than that.
So is this stretch ahead, and I think we've said this before too, but we're getting close to September here, this stretch with Astros, Dodgers, is this make or break time for this team?
Well, they certainly can't afford to, you know, go on a bad skid here and go 3-7 in those 10 games. It's a demanding part of the schedule. I wrote something today for Mass Live pointing out that of the four teams, and I really should have included the Texas Rangers in that now because they're hooked up in a battle for the division in the AL West with both Seattle and Houston and have only a game and a half lead now. So they're really in the mix as well. But I looked at Houston, Seattle, Toronto, and the Red Sox, and by far the Red Sox have the toughest schedule. Now, that's not any complaint. You know, other teams may have had tougher schedules earlier. For the most part, you play a very similar schedule now, especially as it's more balanced with a lot of, you know, about a third of the games are interleague play. So it's very similar. It just so happens that the deck is kind of stacked against the Red Sox here over the final 6 weeks. I think of their final 37 games, only 7 are against teams with losing records. And this stretch here with 4 in Houston, 3 at home with the Dodgers, and then 3 with Houston at Fenway is as demanding a 10-game stretch as any team is going to face in the final month and a half.
Boy, what does it say about the state of baseball when you look at that September schedule and one of the series that looks like a bit of a break is when they play the Yankees again, because that team is just in such bad shape right now.
Yeah, they are. The Red Sox caught them at the right time. They had dropped 5 in a row coming back off a trip to Atlanta. That's never easy for any team. And they just look like one of those teams that's rolling downhill in the wrong direction, and nothing they do is going to stop their slide. I don't mean that they're going to be the equivalent of playing Kansas City or Oakland in the final month and a half, but they just look like a team that can't get out of their own way. They're beating themselves at times. They're not getting much starting pitching. They're not getting much offense beyond Aaron Judge, who can't do it all himself. And the Red Sox even have Gerrit Cole's number, a guy who otherwise is a Cy Young contender. So it's one of those years where the matchup definitely favors the Red Sox at this point, and it behooves them to take advantage and kind of, you know, put their foot on the Yankees' neck while they're in position to do so.
Well, the Seattle team has got, speaking of favorable schedules, a pretty good next week or so with a chance to win some games and maybe put a little distance between themselves and the Red Sox. I thought when they traded their closer at the trade deadline that they were packing it in. They've been playing great. Are they for real? Can they get into this wild card?
Well, this is a little bit like last year where the Mariners had to huff and puff for the final 2 months to make up for a poor first half, and they got into the playoffs, and that ended a long drought for them. Previously, the last time they had been in the postseason was 2001, so that was kind of step one, and people thought that they were going to give Houston a run right from the beginning, and then they didn't. But they're making up for it now, and as you noted, they're in the middle of an unbelievable road trip where they won, swept Kansas City, and then went into Houston and swept them, and then started a series in Chicago with the White Sox, with a 14-2 win last night. It gets hard for them at the end. They have nothing but, I think, Texas and Houston in the final 10 games. But for now, the schedule's easier, and they have an opportunity to build themselves a little cushion for when the hard part comes in the final week and a half.
Well, we'll see if the Red Sox can take care of business tonight. Tanner Houck against Justin Verlander, game two of that series from Minute Maid Park. Sean, great talking with you as always. Appreciate you checking in with us, and we'll get back to you before too long.
My pleasure, Rich. Thanks.
Sean McAdam of MassLive.com here on Downtown.